All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the May 23rd, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Fish, Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz, Wheeler.
Still here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during the City Council meeting so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for your helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you very much. So we have one large issue this afternoon. We will dispose of each of these individually after testimony, but Carla, could you please read them all together, 518, 519, and 520, please?
Mm-hmm. 518, amend code pertaining to private-for-hire transportation in the city. 519, study transportation network company liability and personal injury protection insurance coverage and develop a proposal for a driver regulatory board. And 520, conduct a traffic congestion study of the city of Portland with an emphasis on understanding taxi and transportation network company service.
So I would just like to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this package of proposals forward. Over the past several years, as I'm sure everyone in this room is well aware, the transportation network companies in our area have changed the landscape for private for hire driving in the city of Portland. And I want to make it very clear, Commissioner Saltzman, I fully support your approach and the Bureau recommendations to take the time to fully vet proposals so we understand the changes and the impacts they'll have on drivers, customers, and businesses. So thank you for your leadership on this. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome, everybody. As the Mayor said, we're here this afternoon to discuss Portland's private-for-hire regulations and the industry. And it is certainly a dynamic and changing industry. It's hard to believe it's only been 3 years since transportation network companies Uber and Lyft landed in Portland. And we'll hear shortly how they are impacting the personal transportation options of Portlanders and visitors to our city. But it is important to also remember that the Portland Bureau of Transportation regulates all private-for-hire options in the city. And that includes everything from a taxi to a 12-person human-powered brew cycle. And part of this regulatory framework is hearing from the operators through our advisory board, the private-for-hire industry, through our advisory board for the private-for-hire industry, and we'll hear from a few of their members shortly. So, as the mayor said, we have three items before us. The first is an ordinance with revisions to City Code Chapter 16.40. Second is a resolution directing the Bureau of Transportation to do outreach with industry and study the adequacy of insurance in the taxi and TNC industries, as well as best practices in creating a transportation network company driver regulatory body. And then third, we will have a resolution directing the Bureau of Transportation to dig into congestion and how transportation network companies may be impacting congestion in Portland. Director Leah Treat will start us off, and we'll have a very short PowerPoint presentation on these items, Following that, we will have a few panels of invited testimony, specifically members of the advisory board, then some representatives of important users of the system, Nicole Charon from the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Michelle Graham with Travel Portland. And then we will invite representatives Uber and Lyft to the table for some statements. And finally, I believe Commissioner Fish has a panel of guests he'd like to invite up concerning the driver's body. And then we'll open it up to general testimony. But before we get going, we just have a couple housekeeping items to address before the panels come up. Before you is a memo that was prepared by the Bureau of Transportation that outlines a few quick edits we need to make to the ordinance with the proposed code amendments. So I'd like to move those and hopefully get a second.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion from Commissioner Saltzman, a second from Commissioner Fish. These are largely Scrivener's errors, so yeah, why don't we edits. Call the roll? Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. So it changes the specifics of the reporting of crashes and just changes it to completing and submitting the PBOT vehicle crash report. Am I correct in assuming that that has all of the previously listed information like the date and time, location, claim status?
Yeah, so the change in there, the error that we had in there originally was that the vehicle crash report the change we intended to make was to make the driver responsible for the crash reports. By making that change, we left in a section in there that also required the driver to report when a company went bankrupt, and that's not the driver's responsibility.
The new language, though, isn't completely matching the old language, so it's no longer saying, it's actually saying any crash has to be reported on the vehicle or PBOC crash report, not just ones that are reportable to the state.
It's that requirement is still in there, Commissioner. It's just in another section of the code.
Ah. So everything that's also listed that's been deleted on what I have here, like the date, time, location, claim status, that's somewhere else.
That's correct. That's correct.
Thank you.
That's also part of the form that's online, and that's one of the reasons for the change is we have implemented an online form to capture this information electronically.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. Since these are minor and technical amendments, I'll go ahead and call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Are there any other?
I was just going to say, Commissioner Fritz, I believe, has an amendment to the resolution on insurance and drivers regulatory board.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I do.
And then I think Commissioner Fish also has an amendment. So why don't we go with Commissioner Fritz first, and then we'll have Commissioner Fish.
Hello. And colleagues, just before we go, just so I understand your will. These are more substantive amendments, so I assume we'll put them on the table and keep them open for testimony.
Right.
Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Very good.
If you wouldn't mind going with Commissioner Fish's first.
Commissioner
mine
Fish.
Isn't right here.
Thank
okay.
you. So, Mayor, I guess what we're looking for is a second, put it on, lay it on the table, and then act on it at some later time. So I have an amendment to the Council Resolution 519. I'll hand it out. And the amendment would change the be it further resolved as follows. Be it further resolved that the council directs PBOT to begin collecting TNC rideshare data to learn more about the industry and work with city council offices, community stakeholders, and TNC drivers and organizations representing TNC drivers to develop a proposal to create a new oversight body that focuses on transparent collection and use of data, accessibility, wages, public safety, safety and reliability for passengers, equalizing standards across the for-hire sector, and equitable dispute resolution, and to report back to council within 6 months.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish and a second, and this is to 519.
To 519.
I'm ready now.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And I believe mine is to 518, and it's to the resolution. Am I correct, Commissioner Saltzman, it is 518?
That's the ordinance. I think you're talking about 519, I believe.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry, my paperwork's out of order here, unusually. So I move to add to report back to council within 6 months. After the study areas, and to delete the last sentence, which is Be it further resolved that the council directs PBOT to report to council after completion of the study. So in other words, I'm saying they're going to report within 6 months rather than just whenever it's finished.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Fritz and a second. Commissioner Udaly, did you second that?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
And a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any other amendments to put on the table? Commissioner Saltzman.
Okay, we'll turn it over to Director Leah Treat now.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, Mayor Wheeler, and commissioners. As you well know, the private-for-hire transportation sector is one of the most dynamic and varied parts of our transportation system. This is an area that is constantly evolving. It's very dynamic. It's very disruptive. And more private-for-hire transportation options are likely to become available in our future. When we started this 3 years ago, the private-for-hire sector was providing about 2 million rides a year. That number has grown now to more than 10 million. That's a 500% increase. So not only does the sector provide millions of rides, but it also generates a significant number of jobs, and it's an important driver in our local economy.
No.
Excuse me. Thousands of Portlanders, including many immigrants and refugees, find employment as drivers in the city of Portland. As the agency responsible for overseeing this sector, our mission is to provide oversight that protects the safety of consumers. We want to ensure equitable service that meets the needs of all Portlanders, and we want to guarantee fair competition between the various service providers. A significant tool that we use to accomplish this mission is Chapter 16.40 of the Administrative Code. And so we're here today to present our proposed changes to the code and to provide you with an overview of the current state of our private-for-hire system. I do want to highlight some of the most essential changes we would like to make. Number one, we want to explicitly ban grayballing. Number two, we want to take steps to address your concerns about insurance, a congestion study, and a driver's board through proposed council resolutions. And three, we want to strengthen our regulatory authority with regards to background checks to provide further public protection. I'm joined with Dave Benson and Mark Williams. And before I turn the presentation over to them, I'd like to show you a brief video that we've put together that captures what we do in this industry. And it features a lot of the diverse voices in our private for hire sector.
My name's Andrea Lins, and I am the owner of the Brew Cycle.
Robert Hamilton, I'm a career taxi cab driver in Portland, Oregon.
My name is Sherry Davis Warren. I've been a full-time Uber and Lyft driver for the last 2 years.
My name is Abdi. I work for Neuro City Cab.
My name is Peter Krakowski. I'm a cab driver in the city of Portland.
My name is Issa Adan. I'm from Somalia. I grew up in Kenya, and I live in Portland for 9 years.
My name is Alan Wasey, and I've been driving for myself since October 2007.
My name is Dave Wiedrich, and I'm a professional chauffeur for a Classic Chauffeur Company.
I came here for a visit, and I loved the nature. I loved the people. And I just called my roommate in Dallas, say, hey, whatever I have, give it to Salvation Army. I don't think I'm going to come back.
When I was laid off a couple of years ago, my mother-in-law, who is also an Uber driver, kind of got me on the bandwagon. I've been doing it ever since.
Portland born and raised, went to Grant High School, Irvington Grade School, grew up by the Lloyd Center.
I have friends lives here, so they say, hey, come to Oregon. If you get a chance to come into America, you come to Portland, Oregon. I like, Oregon, is that like America?
I moved to Portland in 2011, June 3rd, and I had one of these bikes delivered on my doorstep June 24th. So moved here with the specific mentality that I was going to start the big giant bike business.
Back in the late 70s, I worked for the company, went off and got a corporate career, retired about 5.5 years ago, and can't get it out of my blood, so I'm back at it.
driving jobs overall get kind of a bad rap. I think it's important to realize that it is actually a very skilled position, and there's kind of an art and a finesse to being able to provide an exceptional experience.
Your job is safely take them from point A to point B, wherever they want to go. It's a lot of tourists, especially in summertime, coming in and out. You got to show them how nice and how friendly we are. So make them come back.
We all have the same connection in that we're helping people, whatever the vehicle is, it's a wonderful, safe experience.
Being able to move here and then be part of people's celebrations with this two-hour pub crawl was really important to me, and be able to show off kind of what Portland's proud of. So the biking culture and the brewing community.
It's a lot of fun because you never know where the day's going to take you.
Well, I'm a people person, first of all. I love people. And every customer we get, we don't know where they're going. It could be to the coast. It could be 10 blocks away. It's always a mystery and adventure every time we get a customer in the car.
Some of them, they just want to talk, you know. They were on the plan all day and long hours. And once you talk to them, they feel like relieved and comfortable.
One of the things I really enjoy about it is just being able to make that human connection with each and every one of my riders. I get a lot of personal satisfaction out of that.
There's a lot of people that I met that are good people, you know. One day you're gonna be sick and you need help, you know, so it's kind of feel to give back first, then get it back later on.
I'm taxi man. Came with my taxi. Till I die. All right. That's about it.
Is that okay?
That was great, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, I'm Mark Williams, and thank you for having us here this afternoon. I'm the Regulatory Division Manager with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. In 2016, Council approved major changes to Chapter 1640 of the Portland City Code, and today we're here to present timely updates. Before we get to those revisions, I would like to highlight how the industry is performing today. As Leah described, since 2015, we've seen the number of rides provided by taxis and TNCs steadily increase. Last year, they collectively provided nearly 10 million rides that originated within our city. Based on the current ride trends, we expect to see a 3-4% increase this calendar year. One council priority is that all areas of Portland are being serviced by taxis and TNCs, and we've been carefully monitoring the service levels throughout the city. The map on the left illustrates levels, service levels by zip code during the pilot period in 2015 between the months of May and August. The map on the right illustrates the service levels in 2017 during the same calendar months. As you can see, service levels have increased in the central city, but more excitingly, it has also increased in historically underserved areas by more than 270%. That's about a 2.3 million ride increase. It has also been a council priority that service is available 24 hours a day, every day. This bar chart illustrates average rides per hour throughout the city for the 2017 calendar year. This chart illustrates that all areas are receiving service during all hours of the day, and most of the rides occur between 6 p.m. and 12 a.m. While we need more data to evaluate whether there is a direct connection, the data implies that Portlanders are choosing to take taxis or TNCs in the evening, potentially reducing the number of impaired drivers. The Regulatory Division has been busy keeping our public riders safe and educating our drivers. In 2017, we conducted more than 3,200 in-field compliance checks on drivers. During a compliance check, we take a secret shopper type of approach by observing the driver's conduct. Then we identify ourselves to the driver and inspect the driver's paperwork and insurance and inspect the vehicle for any obvious immediate safety hazards. The field compliance audits don't stop there. When staff members return to the office, they also review the driver's driving history to make sure that they have not acquired any new traffic violations that may prevent them from driving private for hire. You may recall that the city auditor conducted an audit on the private for hire transportation program in October 2016. The report recommended that we conduct more compliance checks focused on the aspects of the industry that puts the public at greatest risk, like unpermitted drivers and companies, and we're working to adjust our practices. This invaluable work is primarily funded by the 50-cent ride surcharge. Our commitment to keeping the public riders safe doesn't stop there. The regulatory division has teamed up with the PBOT Active Transportation and Safety Team to achieve a Vision Zero goal, the Safe Ride Home program. We are working with our industry partners to offer discounted transportation options on targeted holidays and community events so that the riding public has a way to get home safely after a night of celebrating. PBOT kicked off the Safe Ride Home program last New Year's Eve and has offered service three times so far this year. To date, this program and our partners have offered about 3,500 discounted rides. We are working very closely with the Portland Police Bureau to identify future events, and we hope to make this an ongoing annual occurrence. The program and many of the discounts are being funded by the 50-cent ride surcharge. Uber and Lyft have also made additional contributions. We're also very excited to introduce PDX Wave, which will launch this summer. We have long heard from community members that on-demand wheelchair accessible service improvements were needed in the city. City code requires service within 30 minutes, and we wanted to take it a step further. PDX Wave is a centralized dispatch service that will enable community members to call one number, 503-865-4WAVE. And request an on-demand wheelchair-accessible vehicle. For customer, PDX Wave offers an easy and reliable way to get on-demand service. For transportation providers, the program provides a financial incentive to drivers and a subsidy to help offset the higher cost of maintaining accessible vehicles. This program is entirely funded by the 50-cent ride surcharge, and we anticipate offering a free accessible ride day during an upcoming community event. Now I'd like to take a few moments to go over some of the significant code modifications you'll see in Exhibit A. Since its implementation, we have repeatedly heard concerns about from taxi representatives about the 50-cent customer-borne ride surcharge. The concerns range from the surcharge resulting into lower driver tips, the company's inability to collect surcharges from drivers that accept cash fares, and the companies feel that they are paying significantly more in surcharges than they ever paid under the traditional permit model. Commissioner Saltzman's office held a listening session and invited industry representatives to provide feedback. Some of the taxi representatives reiterated their concerns about the surcharge. For these reasons, a proposal was submitted to the advisory committee to reinstate permit fees to taxis instead of the 50-cent surcharge. The proposal was further discussed in a subcommittee who recommended approval. During the most recent committee meeting, the taxi driver committee member asked that we table the proposal without taking a vote, and the committee supported that request. With that said, we still believe that these changes are important, and we have included those in our code modifications today. I should also note that these changes represent a reduction of about $400,000 in fees collected by the city. Public safety is our top concern, and we have a responsibility to the public to verify that all drivers meet the city's qualifications outlined in code. We have spoken in length with our colleagues in King County in the Seattle area regarding their background viewing process. We're proposing that we change our process to mirror the King County model, further safeguarding the public. Currently, companies are allowed to run background checks on their drivers. Of those companies that choose to run background checks, we review a random sample. Our goal is to review 10% of a company-run background checks. The new process would require the city to review 100% of the background checks conducted by companies. When we have questions about a driver's background check, we have the option of running an additional background check. We would use this as the circumstance warrants, and this would be the exception. This was presented to the advisory committee, but they did not support adopting this change because they felt the current system was adequate for screening drivers and because they did not support the additional costs associated with this step.
As we attempt to better understand how traffic congestion impacts our city, it's important to understand the private-for-hire impacts as part of the larger picture. By requiring GPS coordinates, we can study the system impacts down to the street level. As council is aware, in 2014, Uber deliberately blocked regulators from performing their duties under Chapter 1640. We're proposing new language that prohibits companies and drivers from blocking or altering the presentation of any information or denying access to their company app to any city employee authorized to enforce. We believe the current code prohibits this behavior already, but the new language makes it clear that this is unacceptable. In addition to these modifications, we've made a few other edits to clarify existing language or to correct some of the errors, and I'd like to go over a few of those right now. The ability to cancel permit or a certification issued in error. Because companies have the ability to self-certify their drivers, if they make a mistake, this gives the city the authority to actually cancel that permit rather than going through a suspension process. Requiring drivers to display their permit in the vehicle. This was accidentally removed from the previous code. It is the current practice, and we're reinstating that language. Using a uniform vehicle crash report, that was one of the topics we discussed with the memo earlier today. That's going to help us collect that information in a digital format online that allows us to run analytics rather than the old-fashioned way we would take a paper copy that was sent to us, have to scan it, and if we wanted to run any analytics on that information, we'd have to re-enter that information into a database. So this allows us to do that seamlessly. Using a company-approved device to calculate fares and process payments, just to make sure that every vehicle that processes payments using they need to use a system approved by their company, and if they're doing fare calculation as in like a taxi or a TNC, they have to use a system that is approved by their company. We want to make sure that these systems are PCI compliant. Clarifying the length of a company permit. Just to make sure that everybody understands that a permit can be issued up to 1 year, and a federal and state out-of-service order. The Fed and the state have the ability to issue out-of-service orders to companies that they do not want operating anywhere within the state or in the country if it was issued by the federal government. We wanted to just mimic that existing language that the state has and the federal has at their level. And finally, clarifying which documents must be present in the field when our folks are going out there doing their field audits. There's been some confusion on what documents do I need to have with me. We just wanted to make sure that was very clear and cold. Now I'd like to talk about some of the more exciting future developments. PDX Wave is just the beginning. Next, we want to integrate this amazing service in a mobile application. We are meeting with our partners at TriMet, GridWorks, Ride Connection to explore ways that we can all work together to address the accessible transportation issues we face today and explore the opportunities we expect to see tomorrow. Driver training is only required once a year. In the future, we aspire to offer ongoing training opportunities on topics such as customer service, driver safety, and how to identify potential victims of human trafficking and what to do. The trainees will be made available through a new learning management system designed to alert drivers when new required trainings are available. We believe this brings value to our drivers and the community that they serve. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned earlier, we have two resolutions being introduced today. The first is to study traffic congestion in Portland. The transportation system is an essential to the well-being and prosperity of the city. PBOT needs to further study changes in the traffic congestion and whether the city transportation goals are being met. While the study will focus on overall impacts, it will place an emphasis on a better understanding to the relative impacts to taxis and TNC service. The second resolution is to study liability insurance, accidental death and dismemberment coverage, and personal injury protection. The resolution also directs PBOT to study best practices and develop a proposal for a driver regulatory board. And that concludes our presentation and our suggested modifications to the code. We have some guest speakers I know that are coming up, but I will be in the audience to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioner Fritz.
So regarding the 50-cent surcharge, my recollection was that that was intended to pay for accessible rides. So I'm wondering what's the balance in that fund and why it's being used for things like able-bodied or people who don't need an accessible ride getting a ride home on New Year's Eve.
So the I don't have the exact balance of the fund right now, but we do intend to use the 50-cent surcharge to fund the accessible service program. We don't know exactly how much is that's going to cost us. We estimate about $600,000 the first year. The Safe Ride Home program, is that what you're referencing, Commissioner? The cost?
Using it for anything other than accessible rides.
I'm sorry.
If I could, I'll have Ken correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that when we passed the ordinance, it was dedicated to the private for hire program itself. There wasn't a restriction only for...
I was the one that offered the amendment. It was designed to make sure we had adequate funds to enforce the new regulations on everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Misremembered. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Daly.
Yeah, I have a couple questions for staff and then a couple questions that I'm going to ask of staff and taxi representatives. Can you tell me how cab companies and cab drivers were involved in the process of developing this policy?
Which particular?
These items before us.
All the items that you see before you today were part of the advisory committee discussion. We introduced the items to the advisory committee, and on a follow-up meeting, the advisory committee will listen to public comment. Drivers can stand up and obviously make comment, and then the advisory committee would then vote rather to make that recommendation to push that item forward.
And we did have cab drivers on the committee.
We do, yes. We have a cab driver that's on the committee and a taxi company owner or management representative on the committee as well.
Okay. We're hearing from cab companies that they felt somewhat excluded from the process, and I realize that these items are focusing on TNCs, but TNCs obviously impact the cab industry. So the main way for them to have their voices heard at this point is to give public testimony? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, absolutely not. At the committee, everybody that wants to speak is welcome to speak. We take public comment on, like I said, on items that were introduced the prior month. The meeting minutes go out on the internet where they're accessible for everyone to review. If people wanted to send public comment in, we would accept that as well. And again, we have taxi industry representatives on the committee, but no one's excluded from at least having an opportunity to voice their opinion.
Okay. When these policies were first developed, obviously I was not on city council and I wasn't actively engaged in the conversation, although I was certainly following it. One of the things that was, confusing and troubling to me is that we didn't really achieve parity between taxi drivers and TNCs, or cab companies and TNCs, and it seems to continue to be the case that the standards vary for each group. And I'm going to ask this of the taxi representatives, but if anyone up here can go over how our regulations differ for taxi drivers and TNC drivers and then maybe explain why, I would appreciate that.
So, go ahead.
You can follow up, but when we passed the regulations several years ago, there was a very intentional effort to level the playing field and make it very equal between the two parties. So the regulations applied equally between cabs and TNCs. Now that we've done this for a little bit, we are recognizing that there are some instances in which it doesn't make sense to treat TNCs and taxi cabs in the same way. And one great example that's Mark brought up in his testimony is the ride fee. So cabs don't have the same technology or same resources to collect the 50-cent ride fee, and it's been overly burdensome on their drivers and on the owners of the company. So we have a proposal that we put forth to exclude them from the ride fee and have them go back to just paying the permit charges that they did before the regulations took place, like went into effect.
Yeah, just to follow up on that a little bit, Commissioner, we took great efforts and council really was took the lead on that. Again, I think Leah used the right words, level the playing field as much as possible. And throughout the regulations, you'll see we try to treat taxis and TNCs in a regulatory fashion as close as possible. It isn't a perfect match. I'll tell you, a taxi light, for instance. TNCs don't have to have a taxi light. Taxis do. Taxi meters. Taxis have to have a taxi meter. TNCs don't because they have the app. So it's not a perfect match in every situation or every case, but how the drivers are permitted or certified, how the vehicles are inspected, and the standards by which they're inspected. We even removed requiring dedicated color schemes to vehicles. I think that was Commissioner Fish's motion that they can have varied color schemes anymore. You used to have one color for a company. It had to be approved by PBOT, and we opened that up. So I think there's been a concerted effort to remove barriers, not add barriers.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. I have a number of questions, and I want to just make sure that I have the baseline information as we go forward on this. Director Treat, today there are how many TNC drivers in Portland?
So we can tell you there are more than 10,000, and I'm not trying to be too vague about this, but there are duplicates out there because there'll be a Lyft and an Uber driver, and so we have to redact that. There's many drivers that aren't currently active, and so they may be a certified driver, but they're not actively engaging in the activity. And then lastly, we have non-disclosure agreements with the company that we can't disclose a specific number, and that that agreement has even been tested in circuit court in this county, and so it's backed by a court order. So
more than 10,000.
More yes. than 10,000.
Okay, I'm pleased to hear that you've tightened the code to make future gray ball type violations unambiguously a violation of the code. What's your proposed penalty for such violations?
I believe the maximum penalty would be the sanction for that violation with a possibility of being revoked.
Have the regulatory agreement revoked?
Correct.
Okay.
Is it subject to the same, like, the three-tier, like, strike one, it's 500, strike two, it's
no,
one?
Well, we did, but we started it at the maximum level, and okay. For that particular line item, you're subject to suspension or revocation.
Okay. I think I should know this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With respect to the background checks you're going to do, are you planning to go back in time, or is this prospective?
Just going forward.
Going forward. And do you have the resources to meet the demand?
We are preparing for that if council chooses to approve that modification, yes.
And would you pay for that? What would be the source of funds to pay for that additional capacity?
So those additional positions would be funded by the surcharge and the permit fees that we currently collect.
Okay. On the reference you made earlier to permits being displayed on the window, I've observed from time to time permits displayed on tinted windows, which make them effectively illegible. Does the code address that? Not illegible, unreadable.
Well, just to be clear, this modification is about the driver displaying their picture photograph permit inside the vehicle.
I guess I'm talking about the amendment that Dan brought a few years ago to require that the permit number be visible on the car. Do we address the question of whether the tinted glass prevents you from actually seeing it?
I mean, very directly, no. I mean, the code doesn't talk about, you're talking about TNC permits in the front and the rear of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And if they have deeply tinted windows, you may not see it. You're indeed correct.
Can we just park that somewhere as something to come back to? I think it's
sure.
I think it's a reasonable issue for us to drive, to address. Do we have good data on the average number of passengers per trip? Do we track that or just track trips?
We just track trips.
With respect to the larger enterprise here about congestion and climate action and other things, will we at some point have the capacity to track the number of passengers?
The companies are certainly doing it themselves, so the capacity just would exist in requiring it as part of the data sharing agreement. Because if, like, say, if I get you and I get in a Lyft together, you pay an additional charge for every additional rider, so that's into the app.
Our best chance at that is both Uber and Lyft, Lyft Line and Uber Pool, the ride, you know, double ride sharing, you know, people, they pick up people along the line. It's like a carpool. Those are our best opportunities to start gathering that kind of data because we know there's going to be multiple customers in the car. But you hit on something that we have talked a lot about being able to collect data on how many passengers in the car, and we're very interested in collecting that information.
And perhaps it'll lead to some consideration of ways of creating incentives for people to double up.
That's exactly why we've been talking about it. If we really truly want to get people sharing cars and rides and stuff, that's something that we're very interested in. Thank you.
And Director Treat, with respect to my amendment that I've offered to item 519, which I gave you a copy of, would it be your intent to confer with each council office as you go forward with the next phase of the study here in terms of the composition, who you talk to, the composition of any committee, and the scope of the work?
Well, I'm certainly interested in hearing everybody's perspectives around the council. I will take my commissioner's lead on how that should be structured.
Okay. If I have to make the amendment clearer, I'll do so because the intent is to engage the council in this conversation and to facilitate, because 6 months is a fairly tight time frame.
All right, if this passes, I'm sorry, it clearly states that we'll be working with the council offices, so we absolutely will.
That's
what
I just wanted to clarify.
And
the reason, I just wanted to be clear, the reason that we're proposing to strike best practices is that we're not sure there are any best practices out there to study. So since it may be that this is fairly unique, we didn't want to narrow the focus to best practices. We wanted to expand the potential scope of your inquiry to something beyond that, because I'm not sure there is a model that we can point to. So I think we're going to be a national leader in this regard. So thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
How many business licenses have been taken out by TNC drivers?
We'll have to get back to you, but it should equal the number of drivers.
Yes,
we'll have to get back to you.
I'd be really
that
interested
one.
To know that. And I think that is part of your check, right, that they do have a business license?
Correct.
Okay. Probably you might need to look into this too. How have taxes that have been gathered from taxi companies changed since TNCs came in? Are we getting more the same or less?
Commissioner, I don't think.
I'm sorry.
For the ride fee or the tax? You said, I thought I heard you say taxes.
For the taxis. Because the concern is that because so many TNC drivers are going to be making less than $50,000, so they're not required to pay business taxes, that's taking taxes away from the taxi business, which then reduces the city's coffers. So I'd like to know where are we with that, please.
We'll have to follow up.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. If there's no further questions, then we'll invite up our first panel, which is Nicole Chiron from the Office of Equity and Human Rights and Michelle Graham with Travel Portland.
I'm back.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity for Travel Portland to share industry perspective on the customer experience of the city's private for hire transportation program. I'm Michelle Graham, Vice President of Services for Travel Portland. In my role, my team directly supports the convention meeting planner and delegate needs of all citywide conventions that select Portland for their programs. We are here today because we have been engaged in the private for hire transportation process as an industry representative, consumer demand generator of private for hire services, and a proponent of fair regulations that provide appropriate market flexibility, protections to public safety, and adaptability to changing consumer expectations. prior to the changes in the private for hire transportation program, allowing more competition into the marketplace to meet demand, Portland was not competitive with other cities in hosting citywide conventions when planners wanted to host off-site events and/or delegates wanted to spread their dollars into neighborhood districts outside of the downtown core area. Today, we see a significant shift in customer feedback in this area based on the success of the program and the inclusion of the tourism industry in the regulatory conversations, serving as a tourism stakeholder represented on the Private for Hire Transportation Advisory Committee. We share in the past that visitors and other consumers of the private for hire transportation have a time-relevant expectation that the transportation service they are asking for will be reliable, consistent, and safe. Thus, we support the revised program purpose and provisions as noted in Section 16.40. The largest issue prior to the new program changes was the lack of consistent metrics to assess demand, performance, reliability, and needs for all riders. The new regulatory code changes created a more efficient and adaptable framework for the City of Portland, Portland residents, as well as our visitors. What we have seen is that increased competition and better data metrics has forced all providers to up their game and improve the riding experience for all users. Since the program has been put in place with data metrics to track demand, the visitor industry noticed a significant drop in complaints from visitors and citywide convention planners because more options in the marketplace for private for hire transportation services were available. The changes benefited visitors but also local residents, and overall ridership increased significantly to make Portland more competitive in this space. The visitors industry is in support of these regulatory changes and believe that new rules create a more efficient and adaptable framework for the City of Portland, Portland residents, as well as our visitors. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm here to talk about the WAVE program, but I do want to remind, especially the folks that weren't here when we actually adopted all of this, that one of the things that we did when we wrote these regulations were that we said that any company providing transportation service in the City of Portland would have to comply with ADA Title III, which is the provision in the law that covers public businesses, right? So I think we're one of the only cities that have actually pushed this. And why that's important is it's not just about providing the WAVE transportation, which we're very excited about, and we think we have a really innovative program. It also means that there's a mechanism for people who use service animals to not be excluded from getting a ride, which is something that has happened in the past. The WAVE program is a pretty unique program that we created because we knew from before this existed or before the TNCs arrived that people who needed wheelchair service were waiting sometimes 45 minutes to an hour to get a ride. And there's lots of reasons for that. Part of it is a lot of the medical transport companies or Medicaid rides didn't have enough vehicles, and so they would contract with taxis. And then there just wasn't a vehicle for someone who, I don't know, worked for the City of Portland and needed to get to a work meeting. So we noticed that stuff like that was happening. So when the TNCs arrived, it became an opportunity for us to create regulations that would really create some parity for people with disabilities, but specifically for people who use wheelchairs. And so the idea of using a portion of the surcharge to fund this WAVE program was created. And the big piece of that program is that we didn't want the regulation to be punitive. We wanted it to be incentivized. And so we basically said, we realize that providing wheelchair accessible transportation costs a lot more money than providing transportation for an able-bodied person. So we're going to actually give you $15 back for every ride you do to offset the cost of the fact that your vehicle's more expensive, the fact that gas is more expensive, the fact that you can't give as many rides because when you load up a wheelchair, it takes more time. And so it's really exciting. We're still at the infancy of it. We're not sure what those numbers are going to be. I have heard anecdotally from people in the community that they're really happy with the level of service they're getting, that for the most part, people are getting rides within 20 minutes. And yes, our standard is 30, but we do think we can do better than that. The dispatch system, which we'll be launching in the summer, will really kind of streamline everything because it will be a central point of contact that anyone can call to set up the ride. They will have the ability to say what type of vehicle they want, because right now, all we mandate is that every company has to provide the service. We don't tell them how they have to do it, aside from safety regulations. So you have some people using a short bus, we call them, or a minivan. And so we do think that people should have the ability to say what kind of vehicle they want to ride in, what company they want to use. Maybe they're very loyal to Rose City. So they can call the dispatch system and say, I want Rose City, that's who I want to bring. Or they can say, hey, who's the closest vehicle to me? I need to be on the road in 20 minutes. So we really think we're doing something innovative, and we think we're doing something that will be really effective.
Thank you. Sounds great.
Thank you both. And our next panel is representatives of Uber and Lyft, I believe.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Alejandro Choza, Uber's general manager here in the Pacific Northwest. I started in this position in December as a part of the new leadership team under our new CEO, Dara. I was born and raised in Mexico City and came to the Pacific Northwest after helping launch Uber in many cities across Mexico. I took on this new role for the same reasons I enthusiastically helped Uber launch in my home country. The opportunity to work with cities to improve transportation and mobility options available to all communities. 2 months ago, in meetings with most of you and in a public letter, I outlined my responsibility to help write the next chapter of Uber in Portland and implement a vision and expectations set by our new CEO. I acknowledge that we have made missteps here and made commitments for how we will conduct ourselves moving forward. I'm here today to reaffirm those commitments and our pledge to be a long-term partner in working with you to further improve access to reliable, affordable, and safe transportation options for every neighborhood in Portland. Now in the future, we will conduct our business here with integrity, humility, and a passion for improving the community. We are proud of how we have grown to provide flexible work opportunities to more than 7,000 rideshare drivers who serve nearly 350,000 riders every month in and around Portland. And we are extremely proud to have helped improve transportation access and equity. In fact, we have seen the fastest ridership growth in neighborhoods with historically limited transportation options. We will continue to lean into partnerships with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, public agencies, and community organizations to improve urban mobility for all. We are proud to be working with organizations like TriMet to promote mass transit by being a first and last mile partner, working with Fourth PGE to promote adoption of electric vehicles, and supporting nonprofit organizations that promote equity and economic opportunity for historically underserved communities. Organizations like Street Roots, Community Warehouse, Dress for Success, Youth Progress, Zenger Farm, Basic Rights Oregon. And we are working hard to be better listeners to all stakeholders, including riders, drivers, community partners, and you, to understand how we can improve and do a better job. In this spirit, I will end by saying that we look forward to closely working with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, Mayor Wheeler, and every one of your offices to make the proposals you have before you today a success for riders, drivers, and the whole city. While we know that much of the specifics will be developed in the future, we are aligned with your priorities of listening to the concerns of drivers and promoting public, driver, and rider safety. Thank you so much. I'm happy to answer questions. I wanted to invite my colleague, John Isaacs, Uber's public affairs manager, to join me and help answering questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, my name is Rena Davis, and I am a senior public policy manager for Lyft. I appreciate the opportunity to offer comments on the matters in front of you today. Lyft was the first company to establish peer-to-peer on-demand ride-sharing, which is now what the world knows as TNCs. Lyft was created to provide the world's best transportation, and every week we connect millions of people with efficient, affordable, and safe rides. We want to make it easier for people to offer their neighbors a ride and to help people carpool more efficiently. Lyft's number one priority is the safety of its community of drivers and passengers. Drivers are extensively pre-screened and must pass a thorough background check, driver record review, and comprehensive vehicle inspection. What really distinguishes Lyft from traditional for-hire services is how we utilize technology to ensure a safe riding experience. Every Lyft ride is tracked via GPS. And when a rider is matched with a driver via Lyft, the driver and rider receive pictures of each other, and there is also a user rating for both rider and driver. Lyft's user rating systems allow a rider to provide instant feedback on safety, navigation, overall ride experience. Drivers are also able to flag and to rate riders and flag abuse for dangerous conditions. We are proud that Lyft is more than just a ride-sharing application. We are bringing Oregon communities together through the medium of ride-sharing. Lyft is allowing residents across the state of Oregon the opportunity to earn flexible supplemental income by using their private vehicle to ride-share with their neighbors. More than 80% of Lyft drivers drive less than 15 hours a week. They're casual drivers who don't fall into the traditional livery or taxi framework. The Lyft community is made up of retirees, single parents, graduate students, folks trying to get around, and families just trying to make ends meet. We recently reviewed data on driver earnings, and for the first time in our industry, we disclosed median earnings per hour for drivers across the country. We found that it was right around $18.83 per hour, and what we're seeing here in Portland is consistent with that. That's about $5 more than the current Portland minimum wage. Beyond providing economic opportunity, we believe in being contributing members of the Portland community. We have partnered with the Gateway Center, for example, to provide rides to their clients and ensure that transportation is not a barrier in the access to services. We've also worked with PBOT too. Provide safe rides during time when alcohol consumption is high. A recent study showed that when ride-sharing enters a market, it reduced the fatal accident rate by 6%, the fatal nighttime crashes declined by 18%, and reduced DUIs on average by 51.3% per year. Eliminating drivers driving under the influence is a priority that Lyft shares with the state of Oregon and the city of Portland. We are committed to Portland and have also put down roots here. We recently launched a Portland hub where we have a full-time staff that works with the local community and serves drivers who need support on a face-to-face basis. We enjoy serving Portland and look forward to continued partnership as you imagine the future of this city. Lyft is committed to a sustainable approach to transportation, and we envision a future where personal vehicle ownership is eliminated or dramatically reduced in our urban cores. What will Portland look like in 5, 10, 15 years, and how many parking garages can be converted into open space and reclaimed for public use? How can we design infrastructure around people and not cars? We look forward to being part of those conversations. With regard to some of the matters that are before you today, over the last several months, our public policy, compliance, and legal teams have worked extensively with PBOT to answer questions and think through how regulations can be both effective and efficient. We are currently discussing how to work together so that background checks, audits, and compliance measures help PBOT staff and director to seamlessly regulate the TNC industry. We appreciate their openness and look forward to continuing our work together. We'd like to briefly bring up a few of the measures before you today with regard to user data, paper record keeping, and the congestion study. As outlined, the current requirements require the exact pinpoint location of pickup and drop-offs. And that is of concern to us. We believe passenger data should be more anonymized, and the need for exact location does not permit that flexibility. Based on our experience working across North America, we believe that there are other ways to ensure that the city receives the information that it needs for city planning and logistical purposes without disclosing such detailed information on user data. We're committed to continuing work in figuring out how that can be done. TNC drivers are currently required to carry paper copies of their various registration documents, and we 100% agree that drivers should be able to produce the required documentation to regulators. And to aid this process and provide an extra layer of security, we believe that TNC should be allowed to upload the documents directly into the TNC app. And this allows drivers to simply open up their app and have regulators scroll through and assess the documents and ensure that they are in compliance. We believe that Oregon currently actually permits drivers to have digitized copies of their insurance card, and we don't believe that TNC drivers should lose that privilege simply because they're choosing to earn extra income on our platforms. Lastly, we applaud the city's forward thinking around congestion and city planning. Lyft is committed to working with Portland to reduce the number of personal vehicles on the road and think creatively about regional transportation planning in a multimodal future. We actively pursue partnerships to solve for first and last mile commuting. We believe that congestion studies are part of the process and urge that any studies be approached holistically and include all vehicles on the road for personal, TNC, and commercial use. We believe that this will provide the clearest picture into current traffic conditions and how to best solve for future transportation challenges. I'd also just like to make one clarifying point with respect to previous testimony on per-ride fees. The only rides where we